Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call the November 16th Transportation Land Use Committee meeting to order. Our first item on the agenda is a request for permanent pump and haul for the Muslim Community Center of Leesburg. We could have the appropriate staff come forward, and if there's a representative of the applicant, please come forward as well. Morning, sir. All right, staff, if you'd like to give us an update.
Good morning. The Transportation and Land Use Committee discussed this application for a permanent pump and haul request concerning the proposed Muslim Community Center to be located at 19838 Sicklin Road on October 12, 2012. The TLUC discussed policy implications of permanent pump and haul for new construction and the possibility for connection to the town of Leesburg utilities. The committee forwarded this item to today's TLUC meeting for further discussion of the requested permanent pump and haul with a vote 3-0 with two absent. Staff recommends denial of the Muslim Community Center's request that the Board of Supervisors enter into a contractual agreement with the Virginia Department of Health and the Muslim Community Center to provide permanent pump and haul services at the property. This proposal does not meet the Health Department's policy or practice for permanent pump and haul or the current comprehensive plan regarding permanent pump and haul in the Leesburg Joint Land Management Policy Area.
Okay, thank you. Do committee members have any questions for staff? Supervisor Letourneau and then Supervisor Clark.
Thank you. The Board of Supervisors has approved pump and hauls for both other churches and other properties. In fact, Phil Bowen Park, a county facility, the board had a pump and haul discussion and approved a pump and haul there, correct?
Correct.
Also for other churches?
Correct.
Is it routine for the board to approve pump and hauls for other churches?
This board or the past board?
Corporate board.
The corporate board has approved permanent pump and haul proposals in the past for churches and vacant land, yes.
And some of those have had a recommendation of denial from staff?
Most of them, if not all of them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that I read that there were only two pump and haul customers in that particular area right now, and that's one church, and pump and haul was put in because they had problems. So that was a solution, an interim solution, and then Philip Bowen Park. Am I correct in reading that for this area?
Sicklin Church, an older church just down the road, has pump and haul because they had inadequate facilities. Loudon U Soccer, which is next door, also was approved pump and haul for the new facility, which is almost completed, and then Phil Bowen Park also.
Right. Loudon U Soccer being more or less adjacent or very
correct.
Near Philip Bowen Park, I see that as part of that. When is the JLMA in that area supposed to have public utilities to it?
We've been told that in the other item mentions 5 to 20 years.
Okay. All right.
It's
Thank
dependent,
you.
Mrs. Clark, on the cross trail development.
Okay. The final question is, are there possible issues with having too many pump and hauls in the same general area?
I don't foresee those issues, except it's something that I guess part of the health department practice, we don't want to establish a pump and haul as the means of sewage disposal, and then when sewer does come available, they don't connect. So it kind of preempts building where it may not have been approved before. But as far as the establishment of a problematic sewage area, it's actually not a problem. Dulles Industrial Park has been on pump and haul for quite some time, but now they're connecting the sewer. It was just multiple units being pumped out, which was actually fairly effective because they could hire pumping service and all be taken care of at the same time.
So we can't mandate the conversion when the public utilities are available?
We can. The board in all of the last decisions have said 300 feet from the property when sewer is available. But when we did Blake Landscaping last year, we know sewer won't be within 300 feet even when it's established. So there was an agreement in that case to run it. The number was 700 feet. But we're, and certainly in this case, it's going to be within 300 feet of the property. So we have to look at the, like on Beaver Meadow, they said 400 feet. The other one, they said 700 feet. But the normal verbiage is 300 feet from the property. 1066 says 300 feet from the building. But the board for the last 20 years has said 300 feet from the property.
Okay, so all of those distance determinations have been made by the board?
The 300 feet from the property, yes.
Thank you.
Supervisor Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I had a meeting with staff, and we went over all of these issues that sort of surfaced at the last board meeting where we discussed this project. I can tell you that to the point that Supervisor Letourneau made, there is at least three pumping halls in the area of this facility, one adjacent to it. We have granted pumping halls in a number of cases for other houses of worship, and if I remember correctly, there's 80 some of these around the county, if that number serves me well. So I will support this, and I would like to make a motion, Madam Chairman. I move that the Transportation Land Use Committee recommend to the Board of Supervisors that the county enter into a contractual arrangement with the Muslim Community Center of Leesburg and the Virginia Department of Health to allow permanent pump and haul services to serve the proposed community center to be located at 19838 Sicklin Road near Leesburg, Virginia, and that all costs associated with the pump and haul operation be borne by the Muslim Community Center. The Muslim Community Center of Leesburg shall also be responsible for ensuring that the pump and haul provider submits all required permits, records, and receipts from the proposed Muslim Community Center through the Health Department's online tracking system. The Muslim Community Center of Leesburg must comply with all requirements pertaining to the minor special exception site plan submission SPMI-2011-0001. This permanent pump and haul approval will be null and void if the property is not developed for the use of the Muslim Community Center. And I further move that the Transportation Land Use Committee recommend to the Board of Supervisors that as a condition of the approval of this permanent pump and haul application, the Muslim Community Center of Leesburg be required to connect to public sewer when it becomes available and is within 300 feet of the property.
It's been moved and properly seconded. Is there any discussion? Supervisor Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In that this proposal does not meet the Health Department's policy for pump and haul or the current comprehensive plan policy regarding pump and haul in Leesburg JLMA, I can't support this.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Clark. I'm actually dealing with this as an issue on another special exception application in my neck of the woods and see the problems of an existing pump and haul that has gone on for too long, so I will not be in support of the application myself. I would like to be consistent and, you know, follow the direction of the Health Department. So with that, all those in favor say aye.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a comment.
Okay, Mr. Letourneau and then Supervisor Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supportive of the motion. I think it's important for the Corporate Board of Supervisors to be consistent, particularly when it comes to how we deal with religious institutions. We have to treat them equally. The board has traditionally approved pump and hauls for religious institutions. One of the main criteria and one of the main reasons why staff typically does not support pump and hauls is because they don't want residential development to occur in areas where infrastructure doesn't exist. And this isn't one of those instances. And that isn't the only reason, but traditionally that's been one of the concerns. In this case, this isn't going to be developed residentially. The criteria, the conditions of approval that exist do require the applicant to connect to permanent sewer in an area that I think it's very likely will have permanent sewer at some point. I know we can't predict the future, but given that the adjacent properties and the county has made an exception for itself here, I think we need to be consistent across the board. So I'm going to support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To Supervisor Letourneau's points that he made, this is a matter of consistency. We have done this routinely for religious organizations. The staff routinely advises against it because it does not. It is not permitted under the comprehensive plan for this zoning. However, it is routinely passed by the board or allowed by the board, and so I will be supporting the motion. And I think if we're talking about dealing with these things consistently, that's what we should do. I would add that in my meeting with the staff after our Board of Supervisors meeting discussing this, that was the issue that I wanted to discuss with them. I was confused as to why the staff would advise against something that we routinely do and have done 80 some times and do for churches and have done in this area, including adjacent properties. And that was explained to me, and if you'd like to see that material, I'd be glad to furnish it to you. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right, we find ourselves in a dilemma. Mr. Hemstreet, we have two in favor, two against, and Supervisor Delgadio absent for the vote.
I think typically what might be appropriate is to just forward it to the board with no recommendation from TLUC.
Okay. Is everyone comfortable with that?
Do we need a motion?
Okay, and is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and properly seconded to forward the permanent pump and haul request to the Board of Supervisors with no recommendation from the Transportation Land Use Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will carry 4-0-1 with Supervisor Delgadio absent for the vote. Our next item is the minor special exception 2011-0001, Muslim Community Center of Leesburg, Incorporated. And I see Jane is here. Excellent. If staff would like to give us an update.
We have followed up with a series of questions that the Transportation Land Use Committee had at their last meeting and addressed those questions. This application is actually for two small performance standard modifications. Remember, this site is a five-acre site, but it is bisected by the future realignment of Sicklin Road. Therefore, instead of the 10-acre site that is required for a church, the applicant has asked for a modification to that 5 acres that would allow the church to be to the east of the future realignment. The second modification, in order to accommodate that church design, that mosque design, the setback from the parcel boundary for parking would need to be reduced from 50 to 25 in two portions of that site, not the entire boundary. So the design of this site has been within that, those constraints, and it preserves three things: the realignment for Sicklin Road, the future runway expansion, both of which are to the west of where the mosque would be located, and all of the parking. And it enhances the buffer between the mosque and the ball fields use that that is with Loudoun Youth Soccer.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? Seeing none. Is there a motion, sir?
There is a motion. I move the Transportation Land Use Committee forward SPMI 2011-0001, Muslim Community Center, to the Board of Supervisors with a recommendation of approval subject to the conditions approved, dated August 13, 2012, in Attachment 2, and based upon findings for approval in Attachment 1 of the November 16, 2012 Transportation Land Use Committee report.
It's been moved and seconded to forward this application to the Board of Supervisors with a recommendation of approval. Is there any discussion on the motion? Supervisor Clark?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Being that this is in keeping with what we're requiring, I certainly support this application. support this project. I realize that the pump and haul is tied to this project. However, I'm not making my decision based on that because these are two separate items. Timing is everything, and I think just because the prior boards have made a decision on pump and haul in areas where it's not policy doesn't mean that this board has to as well. But I do support this. I will support this particular item.
Is there any further discussion? Supervisor Higgins? All right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will carry 4-0-1. With Supervisor Delgadio absent for the vote. And I will note myself, I'm supporting this today to move it forward as these two items really should go together. But the pump and haul request is going to affect the special exception. Thank you very much. Our next item is water and wastewater needs assessment implementation. Is Mr. Brewer available and Mr. Brown? I see we have a few extra folks from Loudoun Water this morning. Welcome. Please come forward. You'd like to get started?
Sure. Good morning. With me this morning are Mark Peterson from Loudoun Water, Tom Lipinski from Loudoun Water, and Gwen Kennedy from Department of Construction and Waste Management. This item is a follow-up item to the July 13th Transportation Land Use Committee discussion on the water and wastewater needs assessment. And at that time, staff briefed the committee on the 9 recommendations in the needs assessment. And there was also a discussion of an additional recommendation dealing with emergency situations for water and wastewater systems in the county. As you'll recall, the needs assessment is an inventory of at-risk communities and potentially at-risk communities in the county. And the direction of the committee was to direct the committee actually directed staff to go back and look at implementation options for those 9 recommendations. As a result of that, staff went back and met with the task force that developed the needs assessment and also had discussions with Loudoun Water. And what staff has proposed, and I'd like to direct you to attachment 1 in the item. And essentially the approach was to take the 9 recommendations plus the emergency situation recommendation, and really when we thought about it, you know, we asked the question, why is this recommendation important? What are we trying to accomplish? And when we asked that question, we were able to group those recommendations into objectives, into 3 objectives, and those are listed in the attachment. So you'll see the objectives in the top left-hand corner and the recommendations that are associated with that objective on the right. We looked at the responsible parties who would implement that recommendation, and they're listed in that attachment also. Each objective will go through an evaluation, a development, and a product phase, and we've provided a target timeline for each of those tasks. And that timeline is both listed in attachment 1. And it's also listed as attachment 3 to give a better visual how that will be accomplished over time. It is a significant task. It will take significant time and effort. By stretching that out over time, we think we can accomplish that with existing staff, with one exception, and that is the task of developing an application process and a way to prioritize the communities that will receive assistance or help. And staff believes that the best way to go about that is through a consultant, one, because they have the expertise and that staff doesn't have, and two, because it's sort of a third-party approach since we'll be expending county resources for that. We did get an estimate for that type of work. It's approximately, it would take $30,000, and we can accomplish that through our existing budget, contracting budget. The one item, well, there were a couple discussion items at the transportation land use that were sort of peripheral to the needs assessment. One was specific to the needs assessment, and that was to provide updated costs for the at-risk communities. and Loudonwater has done that, and that is in attachment 2. There was a discussion about universal rates and a cost estimate for providing water and sewer central services throughout the county, and I've provided a discussion of those items in the item itself and be happy to provide additional information if you need that, or additional discussion if you need it. With that, staff does recommend that the Transportation Land Use Committee forward this to the board, the implementation plan to the board for approval.
Is there any discussion or questions from Supervisor Higgins?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I support the action going forward that's recommended here. However, I have a question. On page 2 of the issue, it says that the Transportation Land Use Committee members also discussed the potential of a universal rate structure for Loudoun-owned and operated systems. Currently, customers served by communal water and wastewater systems operated by Loudoun-Water are charged different rates than customers served by the central system based on operation maintenance costs of these types of systems. This approach supports county policies in the revised general plan for the transition policy, rural policy areas where communal systems are allowed and envisioned. And it goes on to say that, let me see here. That this would take extensive research, coordination, and cooperation with Loudoun Board for it to be required. I'm a little puzzled by that because we have a workshop that was done by Loudoun Water in July of last year. It's talking about 2012 rates, which are current. And in that study that they've already done, alternate B rates, the difference for water, if we were to combine all those systems into the county system, is 3 cents. And the difference for central sewer is, if I'm reading this correctly, is 14 cents. So I don't know why we can't use this material that's already been prepared to take a look at how to accomplish that. I think that the problem with these systems is that they are or have turned out to be unreasonably expensive for those that are caught in them, and as a result, unaffordable to them, you know, with some of the changes that have been made. Now, we've already reinterpreted what the comprehensive plan says to go from each individual system standing on its own to combining them together to get them to stand on their own, these communal systems, and now contemplating going back to each individual system. But the long and the short of it is, whether you combine them or not, it doesn't, it isn't very economically viable. I know myself, and I don't want to speak for Supervisor Clark, would like to see a combination of all these rates. And this is not a foreign concept. Prince William County has done it. Frederick County, Maryland has done it. Fairfax County has done it with these systems because of the expenses involved with them. And the whole reason for central water and sewer is to spread the risk out among lots of people. And that way nobody is getting overly hurt by infrastructure costs and whatever. I heard someone say to me one time, well, you know, those systems cost more than the central systems. Well, if you get on the central system, the closer you are to the pump, the cheaper it is. So should everybody be charged by foot away from the pump? I mean, the whole purpose of a health care plan or of a system like this is to spread those costs out so that no one gets hurt. So I would like to see, in addition to what we have here, I would like to see the staff advise us on what policy changes would have to be made within the comprehensive plan to look at rolling these systems in under one rate base, maybe with some options, because I've seen some of that in these studies as well. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes sense to do it now while the impact will be negligible, and I would like to see that considered by the board.
Supervisor Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Supervisor Higgins' comments. I absolutely agree with him on this particular matter. I have a question for staff with respect to what the process would be or what needs to be changed with our plan, ordinance, policies, or whatever, because it was my understanding that the board, this board, needs to make a decision and if we want to go in this direction and to have some of those things changed, and then to direct Loudoun Water to make their changes in accordance with what we decide.
So I think from the county staff perspective, you know, the comprehensive plan, and Julie Pastor, correct me where I'm wrong, the comprehensive plan indicates that, you know, these community systems are to be self-sustaining, and that's the county stance. So whether or not it certainly appears that a comprehensive plan amendment would be necessary for that change in direction if we wanted to recommend a universal rate. The second issue is that Loudoun Water, through the Code of Virginia, has the authority to set rates. So that's where the coordination and cooperation between county staff, the county board, and the Loudoun Water Board would be necessary. It would be my recommendation that if it's the wish of the committee to explore this further, that staff come back with a separate item to the transportation land use specific to this issue, with details on how to move forward, if that's the will of the committee.
I personally, speak for myself, I think that would be an excellent thing to do, and so I would like to make a motion in accordance with that to direct staff to come back to Transportation Land Use Committee with a process. Well, Supervisor Higgins, if you'd like to make the motion, since you wrote it up.
Just happened to have one.
I would like to make a motion that the staff advise the Transportation Land Use Committee on what policy changes within the comprehensive plan would be required to allow Loudoun Water to combine all of the rates under one rate plan.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded to bring an additional item to the Transportation Land Use Committee of what would be the process on the county side for implementing a universal rate for all of the water users. Is there any discussion? Supervisor Letourneau?
I'm not sure I really want to go down that road. I might support it as a study item for the TILA committee, but don't read that as a support for my item ultimately. I need to do a lot more research in this area, though.
Supervisor Higgins?
Madam Chairman, and I would expect that. I would be glad to furnish you with these workshops that I'm looking at right here that show these different rate alternatives that were worked up for actually 2012. If they had chosen to go that way, I can forward you the email and forward everybody on the committee those emails so you can take a look at that. And it's interesting in that structure, it talks about roll community systems into central system and increase central system water and sewer user rates to cover all revenue requirements, justification, treat, this is their words, not mine, treats all Loudoun Water customers the same. Idea of one system provides economies of scales for spreading all costs over the entire customer base. But I will be glad to forward these to you.
Supervisor Clark? Well, and I was just going to say, a lot of folks keep saying in the transition policy area or the rural policy area, for example, myself, I have a communal well system in my district. So it is not just strictly a Western Loudoun issue. And, you know, I've had to do some extensive research on that. And I will personally put the line in the sand that if we were to try and encourage this, we also have to realize we're dealing with a separate board of Loudoun Water that makes their own decisions. And knowing the, let's just say, the condition of the communal system that's in my district, it could be quite pricey to bring it up to decent standards. So I think this is not a simple question, and if we were to go to a universal rate at this point in time, I would then also say that we would put in the plan policies that we approve no more communal well systems in the county. so that we don't make the situation worse in the out years. With that, let's go ahead and vote. All those in favor of having staff come back with the information at a future Transportation Land Use Committee meeting on the subject of kind of a one rate for all of the systems, say aye.
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 All right, that motion will carry 4-0-1 with Supervisor Delgadio absent for the vote. If we can return to our main item, first and foremost, I want to thank staff for the extensive work that they have done already on this project. So I will move that the Transportation and Land Use Committee recommend that the Board of Supervisors direct staff to execute the implementation plan as identified in Attachment 1, including hiring the consultant for the $30,000 to assist. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we forward this with a recommendation of approval to the full board. Is there any discussion? Supervisor Clark?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I had a couple of questions, if I could.
Please.
Thank you, if I may. With respect to the assessment or the evaluation of the rates, Loudoun Water on the communal systems, you folks went through that exercise, didn't you? Isn't that why you have the presentation, for example, that Supervisor Higgins has here on his iPad?
Assessment of
the were to combine the systems universal rate, did you do an evaluation? And
that was one of the options that was looked at.
Okay, so you've been down that road in terms of pulling the information together, which some of that information would be helpful for what is part of what needs to be done based on what's before us today. If the 30,000, let me explain. What is here, in my opinion, is a process for creating a plan. And in that plan, that's part of that plan is to come up with recommendations, including the universal rates. But you have already done some of that work, correct?
Well, I'm not sure I'm following because we're talking about two separate. I guess it sounds like it was clarified that the questions on policy related to universal rate is going to be a separate item.
Right. Understand.
So, I'm not sure I'm following what the question is related to then back to the needs assessment.
Well, I'm trying to determine if there's any work that Loudoun Water has already done that is going to be helpful for this process, because where this stands right now, it looks like this was started in 2007. And where it looks like it's ending up by the time we get a plan is 2014, the end of 2014, 7 years to establish a plan. So I'm looking for wherever there might be information that already exists that will help move this process along sooner rather than later. It just seems like an extraordinarily long process just to establish a plan, 7 years.
Actually, I think I can answer that because I asked this same question early on. Apparently, with the downturn in the economy, there were certain projects that were put on hold due to the, you know, say, tight financial situation of the county. So,
but still, it seems to me that 2 years from now, just to develop a plan, particularly if we're going to invest $30,000, I'm assuming that's for contracting services, it just seems like a long time, 2 years to develop a plan.
Alan, you want to take a shot at that?
I'll take a shot at it. I mean, I guess the reason the needs assessment was performed in the first place was because when it came to actual projects, the time frame was taking an extraordinarily large amount of time. So, for example, a small community, Willisville, 10 homes had issues. It took close to 7 years to get them to a point where they had a community system.
And the problem is that, you know, every time a community problem came up, it was like starting from scratch. There's no process, there's no procedure, there's no method that's standardized to get people through the process. That's what the needs assessment was, to identify how many problems were out there. The second step is to develop that process so that it doesn't take 6 years for each individual project, so that that time frame is reduced. 2 years is a long time to do the plan, but you know, the last thing that I would want to do would be to rush through a process after we've spent 5 years doing a needs assessment. And the other point I'd like to make is the reason the needs assessment took, you know, 3 years for staff to develop is because it was with existing resources. It was on top of what everyone else was doing, so it wasn't a specific project that one individual was doing. It was, you know, when someone had time to do it, I'll work on this piece. And that's just the way it worked out. And Ms. Volpe is correct. You know, after staff was finished with it, there were other priorities for the board at that time. So that added an additional 2 to 3 years to the process. I feel like we're on track now. I feel confident that we can, you know, accomplish this, and at the end of the process have something that's going to be very valuable for the next 20 years to have that process down.
All right. I guess this is just one of those things. I guess I do see there are a couple in here that might not end up in the end result of the needs assessment, just because of the time that it takes and where the public utilities are now, and that there's at least one that's going to be likely in the conversion process by then. I think this is an extremely important project, and I don't want to undermine the efforts here. I really appreciate the efforts, because it is a very important process to occur for the county, for the citizens of the county. It's going to improve the quality of life. It's going to help with respect to reducing costs and environmentally making things better all the way around. So I do appreciate all the work, and I will support this motion.
Excellent. Is there any more discussion? Supervisor Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just one comment to Supervisor Clark's questions. You know, I think it was Supervisor Clark and myself that brought this issue to the board in earlier this year to take a look at it. And if I remember the information I looked at, it's not staff's fault that this got kicked down the road. I think two prior boards kicked this can down the road in 2007, and then the last board. So it isn't that the staff's been dragging its feet. It's because the board, for whatever reason, kicked the can.
Right. At one point, it became that it was not a priority, and having only a limited amount of resources. And like I said, I think part of it also was the economy.
I think it's also a difficult item to talk about sometimes. Politically, and I suspect that may have had some bearing on it being kicked down the road.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we deeply appreciate you being here. If there isn't any further discussion, all those in favor of forwarding this item forward to the full board for approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will carry 4-0-1 with Supervisor Delgado absent for the vote. Thank you so very much, gentlemen. Our next item on the agenda is the request for fee waiver for Washington Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. I see Mr. Merrithew is coming forward. If a representative of the applicant is available, they may come forward as well. And the staff, if you'd like to give us an update, please do.
Thank you, Chairman Volpe. Washington Emmanuel Church is located on Evergreen Mills Road. It was approved by special exception for a church facility in 2008. At that time, they paid the current special exception fee, which was about $2,500. And subsequent to that, they paid the fee for site plan approval or site plan review, which process they're in now. They have made application to us to waive the fee for a new special exception because the church would like to modify parts of the approved special exception plat regarding the parking area and the driveway. which zoning staff has determined are more than minor changes. They're substantive changes to the application. The current special exception fee is $5,955. The church, by virtue of being a church under county policy for fee waivers, is not an eligible group. And because the use has been approved and by special exception, and what they're proposing to do is make some changes on their own, changes they wish to make as opposed to being required to make, we're recommending that they be required to pay the fee for the change. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Is there any questions for staff? Supervisor Clark, then Supervisor Letourneau.
I'm just looking for clarification on the reason why a second special exception was required. What it looks to me is that because of the change in the road?
Change in the driveway entrance and a request to not pave the parking area as opposed to paving the parking area, as was included in the original special exception plat. There are variations of changes allowed for a special exception. Minor changes can be approved by staff, but if they're not minor, as determined by the zoning administrator, then they have to go through the special exception process again.
Okay. Well, I also don't understand why an item like this is brought to committee when we have a policy against granting waivers for religious institutions based on, you know, the way this is packaged. I guess I don't understand why we would put an applicant through that process of applying for a waiver when we have a policy against it.
Well, I think because the board has to make the decision on the how to implement that policy in each case. So the Land Use Committee has been charged with that responsibility by the full board for up to a certain level of fee.
Okay. Well, once again, we have a policy against granting waivers for religious institutions based on this criteria, so I cannot support this. I think it's a incredible thing that what the churches do, the contribution to the community, but once again, we have a policy against this, and so I can't support it.
I believe this committee has already supported fee waivers for churches. In fact, I believe it was unanimous in at least one instance, right?
The corporate committee has approved one. I believe this committee has approved some as well. Yes.
I believe this committee has approved one. The reason why you bring them forward is because we have waived the policy, including in instances where it's against the policy, just to be clear on that. Now, the question I have was, this applicant came forward with a special exception in 2008. Was there a fee waiver request at that time? What fees were paid at that time by the applicant?
There was no fee waiver request at that time. The special exception fee was $2,500 and some dollars at that time.
So that's quite a bit more this time.
Yes, sir. The board adjusted the fees to reflect actual costs, and the fee did jump between then and now.
Does the board have the option of waiving just a portion of the fee?
Yes, sir, they do.
Okay, thank you.
And for point of record, I do believe the fee waiver that we did as this Transportation Land Use Committee was for the Wounded Warriors Project.
Correct, we did do that.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, that was your most recent one.
But, Madam Chair, I believe there was a church with a pantry that did not meet the criteria, and I believe that the board did, in fact, waive the...
Well, I was prepared to say that previously churches have been waived, but I'm afraid I don't know the exact timing of those waivers. I could certainly look that up for you. But.
Right. Well, the difference was, Supervisor Letourneau, that was an existing church, and when they were getting the waiver so they could do the food pantry, donating food to homeless people.
It didn't meet the policy. So that's why they bring it to us, because sometimes when it doesn't meet the policy, we still want to waive it.
Right. And it's a case-by-case basis, and I've had that discussion before with staff. My question is, the church received a special exception, and in that special exception was required to do several things, and several of those things have not been done yet. Is this an active and operating church? Is it already, quote-unquote, have an occupancy permit, holding services, et cetera, et cetera?
It is an active church. I am not aware of what permits have been issued at this point. And I could certainly find that out for you, but I do know that it is active.
Well, I see. Is the applicant, are you all holding services at the facility?
My name is Young Kim. I'm the civil engineer representing the church. Right now, I believe we have a temporary permit that they are having service at the church.
Okay. Walk me through the process, Mr. Merrithew. So there's a temporary permit. They're having services at the church, and they have not done the items that were in the special exception that was granted in 2008. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So in reality, this special exception that was brought forward, which they would like the fees waived for, is so they can change some of the requirements that were in the original special exception that was granted.
That's correct. They are actively pursuing a site plan for the project, and while they're pursuing it, typically we don't prohibit them from necessarily using the property if there's some circumstance that requires it or they feel requires it. So they've been pursuing the site plan actively. It's been staff who made the determination during that process that they needed to do this special exception because the site plan and the specs were not matching up.
May I speak? So initial special exception plat, when it went through, there was a disconnect between the church and the civil engineer. And being a Korean church and some of the members really can't read plans, so they did not realize what was being presented during that special exception plan. And what was planned, it was much higher impact development with the pavement, changing of the entrance. And they really didn't understand why that was proposed, but again, they didn't understand, so they went along with it. My understanding, at that time, the staff wanted the low-impact development, and that was what was requested, but what was put forth at the hearing and approved was a plan that really nobody wanted. That's where we are at. The main reason the church did not want to develop it is a cost, because what was put forth in the special exception plan that was approved was it was really costly. Moving the entrance is very costly. Paving all the gravel parking is costly. And then they would also have to do some sort of BMP stormwater management, whereas what they're proposing now is a minimal development to utilize the church, so not paving all the parking, so utilizing the gravel parking as it is, just modifying the entrance slightly to better the site distance. That's why we're asking for the fee waiver. Because, you know, one, they already paid once, and we also paid for the site plan fee. And the reason we're here is because the zoning department saw that the site plan was not substantial conformance. So it's a technicality, and the site plan we put forth, we got comments from the staff, very minimal comments. So we just stuck with the zoning administrator could not approve this administratively. So they made us go to a special permit amendment.
And if I could just say, all those issues that have been raised about the cost and the impact and so on would be part of the special exception review. I have not pursued whether those issues are, in fact, substantive at this point, but it would be part of the staff review with the special exception.
Madam Chair, I have another question.
Surely, and then Supervisor Higgins.
Mr. Merrithew, what would be the fees, the 2008 special exception fees, since the prior board raised those fees?
In 2008, the fee was $2,580 for the special exception. I don't know right offhand the fee for the site plan review.
But what's being asked for here is for the special exception fee to be waived.
Which is now a higher fee, yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious about our policy that was written in 2000. If anybody knows what the policy was prior to that, as far as whether or not churches or religious organizations could receive fee waivers.
I don't think the policy prior was substantially different. This policy was based on state code language about who can receive gifts, I believe. I'm trying to see if it's receive or get gifts from the – I think it's get gifts from the county. And there's some state code language which is referenced in the policy that this policy was modeled after. I don't believe it changed substantially from the previous fee waiver decisions or fee waiver policy.
I just am curious why we would call out religious organizations that provide so much to our community in the way of services in many cases. And here it specifically says, if I can find it, any charitable institution or nonprofit or other organization providing housing for persons 60 years of age or older or operating a hospital or nursing home. I mean, there are lots of religious organizations. In fact, I think most of the hospitals in this country first came from religious organizations. And so I don't quite understand the rationale of why they would be automatically singled out as being excluded when they do provide services to the community.
Well, again, I would go back to the state code language, which includes that language as well.
But we have the right to waive this if we'd like, right?
Take a legislative action.
Certainly. This is just a policy. That's correct.
Thank you.
I have one more question, too.
Wanted to make sure. Does the applicant have additional information?
Well, we were told this committee has never denied this fee waiver by the staff, so that's why we're enforced. I obviously, when we apply for this, I looked at the language just like other committee member, and it does specifically exclude churches, but we were told by the staff that previous instance where this kind of case came by the church has never been denied, so that's why we're here.
Right, so we're trendsetters.
Well, I don't know.
Madam Chair, can we get clarification on that, though? I don't believe that's right.
Right.
Well, I think the statement was made that previously church applications for fee waiver have been approved, and there
every one of them.
I don't think so.
This
but
pastor is indicating no in the behind you. So
I don't think so.
As a corporate board, I don't know that that's
that was what I was told by staff.
Okay.
So.
Between 2000 and now, there have been about eight to ten church applications that have been approved. Okay.
Well, Supervisor Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I have a question with respect to timing on this, because I would like us to have a little research to understand where we stand on what action has been taken with respect to these waivers, because it's sounding like it's all over the place. Now, of course, you have different fees associated with different types of applications. So, you know, maybe there was a waiver provided for something different versus a special exception, but we don't know that sitting here right now. Okay. So, timing-wise, what is the need of the church? Is this something that could be deferred to the next Transportation and Land Use Committee meeting?
Currently, we're ready to submit the special exception amendment. We're waiting on decision to whether this fee will be waived or not to submit that application.
Would a 1 month delay be problematic?
I don't see that be problematic. I think right now we're trying to the church is trying to get their permanent occupancy and make the improvements they need to do that. So,
okay. Well, we're getting ready to go in the winter months too. So I don't know construction wise what your plans are. But if you can wait a month, Madam Chair, I would recommend that we move staff to direct staff to come back to this committee with this item next month with more information on the history of the actions that have been taken with respect to church applications and waivers.
Is that in a form of a motion?
It is in a form of a motion.
Is there a second? All right, it's been moved and properly seconded that staff be directed to bring back to the next Transportation Land Use Committee more details and some history on the waiving or not waiving of fees to churches.
Sure.
Any discussion? Supervisor Higgins?
Briefly, I would just offer that that is exactly what we did with the first item today at our last meeting, and I went with staff and was shown the evidence that, in fact, we had been consistently approving those type of systems. So I support this motion.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. That is approved 4-0-1 with Supervisor Delgadio absent for the vote.
Madam Chair, do we need a motion to defer this item to the December meeting? Was that part of your motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that we will not address the waiver until we get the additional information from staff so that we can do it at next month's Transportation Land Use meeting.
And the additional information, Madam Chairman, is a chronology of previous decisions, basically?
Correct, regarding churches. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Hemstreet, Mr. Young, I don't believe we have any other items on our agenda. So with that, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.